Portland, you sound like Henry Aldrich's sister.
It's Texaco time with Peter Lorre, Lois January, Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Workshop players, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and starring Fred Allen. This is Jimmy Wallington bringing you a message from Texaco dealers from coast to coast. A message that can be expressed in these six words. Mileage rationing gives. It doesn't take. For mileage rationing is planned to give you longer service from your tires. But remember this. Longer tire life means nothing unless your car lasts longer too. And that's where your neighborhood Texaco dealer can give you invaluable help. He can't sell you as much of his famous Fire Chief or Sky Chief gasoline as he used to, but he can still give your car the famous Texaco service that will keep it delivering your essential transportation for a long time to come. So now that mileage rationing is saving your tires, complete the job and save your car by seeing your neighborhood Texaco dealer regularly. This past week, ladies and gentlemen, the new year arrived. Tonight, we bring you a man who tried to see the new year in, but couldn't locate it on account of the dim out. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Wallington, you look a little dilapidated this evening, if you don't mind. Your skin is the color of a halibut stomach, to be quite frank with you. Were you out? There's a fish man in the audience. Were you out nightclubbing New Year's Eve?
Oh, you bet, Fred. And what a night.
Really?
Yes, around 3 o'clock, some guy under a table started yelling at the top of his lungs.
Yes.
Well, I got down under the table to see who it was, and who do you think was doing the yelling?
Who?
It was me.
No kidding. Well, I heard that over at the store club, they had midget waiters New Year's Eve so that the people who were lying under the table could get service over there. I wasn't there, but that... Portland. Well, you're just in time to participate, Portland. Did you have a good time New Year's Eve?
I'll say. Uncle Phil had 3 slots reserved at the automat.
3 slots reserved at the automat.
Huh? We were in the John L. Lewis room.
The John L. Lewis room at the automat, were you really? Well, that's where the eyebrows go, isn't it? That's the effect. Did you have a special meal ordered?
No, we took slot luck.
Slot luck at the automat.
I had breast of shrimp.
Breast of shrimp, very. Filling, too, isn't it?
Then we had a Leon Henderson salad.
What is a Leon Henderson salad?
It's one piece of lettuce with a ration card on it.
Oh, thank you. Very good. And an IOU for the mayonnaise, I suppose. Well, it sounds very nourishing, Portland. I'd like to hear more about your new year, but I have an appointment down at Allen's Alley.
Oh, what is your question tonight?
Well, starting next month, as you know, the government is going to ration all canned fruit, soups, and vegetables. And so then, our question tonight is, how will the rationing of canned goods affect you?
All right. Let's get down to Allen's Alley.
Well, here we are in Allen's Alley, Portland.
There's a light in John Doe's house.
Say, John must be in. I'll knock.
I knew it. It's you again.
Yes, Mr. Doe.
Well, make it snappy, brother. I'm in the middle of a solitaire game, and I think I got myself cornered.
No kidding, have you really? Well, tell me, Mr. Doe, is this rationing of canned goods going to bother you?
Nah, I never buy no canned stuff.
Well, what? You don't really?
Nah.
Well, what do you use for food?
Well, me and the wife eat the same 3 meals every day.
The same meals?
Yeah, for breakfast, we both eat 3 pounds of dried prunes.
3 pounds of dried prunes, huh?
And for dinner, we both drink 2 quarts of water.
Well, what do you have for supper?
Nothing. We just sit near the fire and swell.
Well, John Doe has his solution well in hand. I wonder how Mrs. Nussbaum is reacting.
No.
Well, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You're not in first bed in the conversation.
Well, tell me, is the canned goods rationing going to bother you?
Who needs canned? I'm conserving with everything, especially with butter.
Oh, really? Well, how are you cutting down on butter?
When I'm eating bread, only one corner I'm buttering.
You only butter one corner of the bread.
This I'm folding over four times.
And?
Then I'm eating.
Well, how does it taste?
The first 5 minutes, it is tasting like bread.
The first 5 minutes, yes.
But when you're coming to the butter...
Yes?
It is simply delicious.
Well, tell me, do you understand the point system of rationing the government is starting next month?
This is altogether simple.
Oh, really? How does the point system work?
You're going into a store.
Yes.
You're wanting 2 pounds coffee.
Yes.
You're pointing to the coffee grinder.
Yes.
The grocer is pointing to an empty shelf.
Yes.
You are pointing to your rationing bowl.
And?
The grocer is pointing to the bell.
That is all there is to the point system, huh?
You are getting the point. So long.
Mrs. N has everything under control. I wonder how Socrates Mulligan is taking it.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, how about this? You look like a man from Lowell I knew in better times. Doc, how about this? How about this canned foods problem?
Oh, what cans? I don't eat nothing but meat.
Well, you don't eat anything but meat?
Nah.
You're carnivorous, in other words.
Well, yeah.
Hasn't it? Well, look it up and let me know if you are later. Well, hasn't the meat shortage bothered you?
Oh, it's brutal.
Really?
Back in 1920, I'd go into the butcher, slap a buck down on a chopping block.
Yeah?
The butcher'd give me a cleaver and a lantern, open the icebox door and say, help yourself, Dockety.
And you would?
I'd chop a cow in halves, braid a couple of lambs, load my pockets full of tripe and kidneys and go home.
You were messy but homeward bound, eh?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing today, Socrates?
Terrible.
Really?
Last Saturday night, I go into the market.
Well, how much meat did you get?
The butcher's a friend of mine.
Yes?
He let me smell the meat hook.
Well, that's probably why he has... Here we are, our last stop in Allen's Alley.
Tally-ho and yoicks away, Falstaff prime for his tete-a-tete.
Well, I hope you're giving up poems for the new year, Falstaff.
I am just closing out my old year special.
Oh, now look, I'm not...
Have you heard, she said you can't, you couldn't be ruder, as I toyed with the fin on her barracuda?
No.
Or, said the little calf to the big giraffe, when I look at your neck, I have to laugh.
No.
When I first saw Mother's muscle, I thought it was a muscle.
Now wait. That has definitely done it. Tonight we are discussing the rationing of canned goods.
Precisely why I am here. Once again, I have written a poem.
Oh, what is your canned goods poem called?
The world needs one big can.
Well, how does it go?
I've been working day and night to perfect a mighty plan. For to me, it's quite apparent that the world needs one big can. If we'll all cut down on canned goods, the sooner the war we'll win. Our soldiers can use the extra food, and Uncle Sam can save the tin. And with that tin, old Uncle Sam could call on every man to melt and mold and shape the tin to make the world one can. We can only use the biggest can. We can't use one that's littler. And when Uncle Sam has made it, he can tie that can to Hitler.
Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen... Now, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of soldiers and sailors are entertained by a young lady who is on the air every morning at 5:30 over this network. The boys in camps call her their Reveille sweetheart. And here she is, Miss Lois January, to sing for us, Dearly Beloved. Miss January.
Dearly Beloved, how clearly I see. Somewhere in heaven, you were fashioned for me. Angel eyes, you. Angel voices led me to you. Nothing could save me, fate gave me a sign.
That looks well. Say, Jimmy.
Yes, Fred?
Jimmy, I brought this magazine to the studio tonight to show you. Take a look at this article here on the car of the future.
Well, that's very interesting.
It is, isn't it? It's the kind. This is the kind of a car we'll all be driving after the war is won, Jimmy. Look at these, this streamlining, these mechanical gadgets. Why, this car will do practically everything for the motorist but whistle at a pretty girl.
Well, maybe it is the car we'll be driving when the war is over, Fred.
Yeah.
But the war isn't over yet, and the chances are that our present cars are going to have to last for the duration. And that means it's our patriotic duty to make them last by making sure that every vital part gets proper lubrication. And that's the kind of lubrication your car gets when you take it to your technical dealer for a Marfac job. For Marfac service isn't just greasing. It's thorough stem-to-stern lubrication of every important chassis point with Marfac, the technical lubricant that won't readily pound out, wash out, or squeeze out. Make your car last by making sure that it gets correct lubrication. Regular, systematic Marfac service from your neighborhood technical dealer.
That was just a dash of Everything I've Got Belongs to You, played by Al Goodman and his They Came Here to Speak for Dough Orchestra. Now, look, Portland, stop moving those chairs around,
well, I'm
please.
I'm getting everything out of the way. There may be a fight.
A fight?
Isn't Jack Benny coming tonight?
No, not tonight. Mr. Benny will be here next Sunday night. And remind me to take the welcome off the mat, will you, before I go home.
Well, who is our guest tonight?
Our guest is Peter Lorre.
I'll see you later.
Now, wait a minute. Come back here, Portland. What's the matter?
In pictures, Mr. Lorre is always killing people. I'm frightened.
Well, I hope he kills the audience here tonight. Why, Peter Lorre won't... Come in.
Has Mr. Lorre appeared yet?
No.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, any knives, daggers, stilettos, dirks, or other cutlery found sticking in people's backs after Mr. Lorre leaves tonight must be wiped clean and returned to the Keen Cut Cutlery Company at once. These utensils have merely been loaned to Mr. Lorre. Remember, just because it's in you, it doesn't mean it's yours.
Well, I wish that guy wouldn't spook until he was spooking, too.
Mr. Allen, I'm trembling.
You're trembling. I'm shaking like a crapshooter's sleeve here. But we have got to be brave, Portland.
Pardon me, is this Fred Allen Sprotman?
Yes. What do you want, little boy?
I'm Peter Lorre.
Mr. Lorre! Mr. Lorre, this is Fred Allen.
Ooh. Ah, no!
Well, what's that? I don't know who's getting the worst of it here. Well, what's the matter, Mr. Lorre?
Well, I wish you had told me, Mr. Allen. I'd have worn my makeup, too.
Well, I'm not wearing any makeup, Mr. Lorre.
Well, you fooled me.
Say, Portland, Mr. Lorre isn't anything like we expected, is he?
No, he's just a little snuck.
Yes, you sure are a letdown, Peter.
Glad to disappoint you, Fred.
Oh, yes. I thought you'd come creeping in here on all fours and drooling cyanide. Well, you're supposed to be a brutal killer. You couldn't take a fly away from a baby spider.
Oh, that's what I keep telling them down at the morgue.
you spend time at the morgue, do you?
Oh, yes. It's so nice and cool and peaceful at the morgue.
Well, I wouldn't know, Mr. Lorre.
Oh, if it wasn't for me, a lot of people wouldn't know about the morgue.
Now, wait a minute. Quit talking. You sound as though you're slab happy here.
But it is so nice and cool.
I know. You said
and,
that.
And
you
peaceful.
Just said that before. You are an odious little runt, aren't you?
Yes. Fred, why do people think I'm such a monster? I'm just a little guy trying to get along.
Well, I know that, but you're not getting along in this vein. You're not trying to get ahead, you mean, and you're not getting mine, if that's what you have in mind.
Look at me, Fred. Please, look at me. Do I look like a menacing villain who knows but one word, murder?
No.
Well, do I look like a Svengali? A demon with a hypnotic spell?
No.
Look deep in my eyes, Fred.
Yes, Peter.
Do you see anything but gentleness and love of humanity?
No. Who shall I kill now, Master?
Please, please stop joking, Fred. I am serious.
Well, then be careful with that gremlin look there, Peter. I am very susceptible. For a minute there, I had that old commando feeling.
Oh, if only the world would realize that I'm just an average man and not a mad, twisted creature.
Well, I know just how you feel, Peter.
You know, if people only knew the story of my life, they'd feel sorry for me.
Yours is a sad story, is it, Peter?
Sad. When I was 2 years old, I was an orphan. No father, no mother.
Oh, you poor kid. What happened to your father and mother?
Oh, I killed them.
Oh, you unfortunate child. Who brought you up?
Well, I went to live with my aunt and my uncle, and 2 weeks later I was homeless.
Homeless?
Yes, the house burned down.
Peter, you didn't...
Oh, no. My aunt set fire to the house.
Your aunt?
Yes, I set fire to my aunt.
It was an accident, of course.
Oh, yes. How did I know when I gave her that hot foot that she had a celluloid leg?
Oh, you poor, unfortunate little nipper. What did you do next?
Oh, I went to work for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Doing what?
So when Dr. Jekyll was turning to Mr. Hyde, I had to remind him to put his money into his other suit.
Oh, you finally left Jekyll and Hyde?
Yes. Yeah. And then I went with a circus, sawing a woman in half. But it only lasted 2 months.
Why?
Well, I ran out of women.
Well, all of those hardships are over, Peter. Today you're a big success in pictures, and I know you must have many friends in Hollywood.
Oh, no, Fred. I just hang around with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and Dracula.
Oh, well, what do you boys do for excitement?
Oh, every day we give blood to the Red Cross.
Well, doesn't giving blood every day weaken you?
Oh, it isn't our blood.
That now you've opened your heart, people will understand you. I know that among our more morbid listeners, you have made many new friends tonight.
Oh, I hope so, Fred. And I want to thank you for letting me tell my side of the story.
You know, from now on, the people will know that you aren't always the villain. They'll remember you more kindly as the famous Mr. Moto.
Oh, you see, as Mr. Moto, I was the world's greatest Oriental detective.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Lowry. Mr. Moto was the second greatest Oriental detective.
Huh?
The world's greatest Oriental detective is one long pan.
One long pan is an amateur.
Now, wait a minute, Peter. Look, tonight we can settle that question once and for all.
How?
I tell you what, I'll dig up a mystery. Mr. Moto and one long pan can work on it together. The one who solves this mystery will be the world's greatest Oriental detective, right?
Right.
Mr. Goodman, some music while Mr. Lowry and I get our mystery ready, will you?
And now, the battle all crime lovers have been waiting for, Mr. Moto versus One Long Pan. Tonight's super mystery is called The Missing Shot, or Who Killed Balsam Bemis? The team, the Acme Broadcasting Studios, Miss Irwin, the hostess, sits at her desk on the 29th floor. The telephone rings.
Acme Broadcasting Studios? Sorry, Mr. Bemis is auditioning a program for Mr. Pomeroy of the Pomeroy Pen Company. Sorry, Mr. Bemis cannot be disturbed. Goodbye. I hope Mr. Bemis sells that program. Business is off. Good heavens, it's shot.
Miss Irwin! Miss Irwin!
Yes, Mr. Pomeroy!
Mr. Bemis has been shot. It's murder.
Calling all cars, if you've got gas. Calling all cars, if you've got tires. Balsam Bemis, president of Acme Broadcasting Company, murdered. Calling Mr. Moto. Calling One Long Pan. Proceed at once to Acme Broadcasting.
Our greetings and happy times, kiddie. Detective One Long Pan, Chinese Superman on job. Mystery solved, no time. Mr. 5x5, catch him dead or catch him live. Mr. 5x5.
Now listen, you wet wash tibbet. There's been a murder committed here.
Who are you, Mr. Jelly Belly? Best up.
I am Putney Pomeroy, president of the Pomeroy Pen Company.
And you, Mr. Short, Dark, and Dumpy?
And I'm Miss Irwin, the hostess here at Acme Broadcasting.
And you, little man with sneaky face, who are you?
Oh, so if you're a detective, you tell me who I am.
Oh, ho, don't make monkey business. I am Detective One Long Pan.
You are one big dope.
Well, Long Pan, maybe one big dope. You one little punk. Now, who are you?
come clean.
I am Mr. Moto.
Oh, ho, Mr. Moto, Mr. Moto impression. Mr. Moto, one poor man, one long time. Mr. Moto, Oriental nutmeg. I'm a Yankee to the dandy. I'm a Yankee to the boy.
Moto?
Now, listen, will you two guys stop chewing the fat?
Yes, why don't you both stop this crime?
Hey, that's a good idea. Make it a competition.
Very good. Long pan make Mr. Moto look silly. Mr. Moto, small time, petty larceny flatfoot.
Also, we shall see one long pan.
Oh, so you bet we shall see also. You, Mr. Jellybelly, Mr. Pomeroy, you explain what confidentially, you explain why.
I came up here today to see about advertising my Pomeroy pens on the radio.
Also?
Mr. Venus auditioned a program for me, The Lonesome Cowboy.
Oh. No.
He took out a contract for me to sign. I told him I didn't like the local cowboy.
Oh, so and so.
I left Mr. Venus in the studio. I went into the control room to get my coat and hat.
Oh, so.
As I was leaving the control room, I heard a shot.
That's right. I saw Mr. Pomeroy coming out of the control room.
Very good. You two have alibi airtight.
I am not so sure.
Not so sure. Long pan lap up Mandarin sleeve. Long pan take over. One side, Mr. Moto. Maybe learn something.
Don't you want to examine the body, long pan?
Examine body. Beginner routine. In a sanctum stuff, examine body. First, long pan grill, lonesome cowboy. Where's the lonesome cowboy?
Right here. And I've got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
Long pan elect you for murder Balsam Beamer.
Well, you're loco, coolie. Why should... Hey, my gun's gone.
You bet. Your gun maybe shoot Mr. Beamer.
I've been robbed. Where's my gun?
Long Pan, where's into action?
If you are a detective, Long Pan, why don't you examine the body?
You're bad to examine body, Mr. Moto. Where is body?
The late Mr. Beamer is in this studio, right here. See, there he is.
Oh, boy, Mr. Beamer's laughing. Mr. Beamer's dying in good humor. Just beat Victory Tag. Dying in very good humor.
Mr. Venus is just as I left him. The contract's on the table, the pen's in his hand.
And also, look on table.
What, Long Pan?
A Lewallowa.
A Lewallowa. Hey, that's my gun.
Very good, lonesome cowboy. Mystery solved.
Also?
And how also? Solution obvious. Mr. Balsam Beamer commits suicide.
That is my theory exactly.
And I say it is murder.
Oh, murder. Mr. Moto have motor trouble. Moto missing on one cylinder. Mr. Moto maybe need Mopac lubrication.
I still say it is murder.
Long Pan say suicide.
Also, murder.
Also, suicide.
No, so, murder.
Yes, so, suicide.
But why should Mr. Beamer kill himself, Long Pan?
Solution obvious. Mr. Pomeroy not like Lonesome Cowboy. Mr. Beamer lose $1 million contract. Mr. Beamer steal Lonesome Cowboy, the Wallower. Mr. Beamer commit suicide.
You've got the solution, Long Pan. Let's go.
Not so fast, Mr. Pomeroy. I, Mr. Moto, am arresting you for murder.
Me? Murder? Why, that's ridiculous.
Well, ridiculous. Mr. Moto, get my goto. Shoot the goto to me, Moto.
If you will examine Mr. Beamer's body again, Long Pan.
Okay, Long Pan check, double check, and Shankai check. You see one bullet hole forehead. You see one bullet hole, Mr. Moto.
Yes, one bullet hole in forehead, but two bullet holes in back of head.
Two bullet holes?
Mr. Beamer was shot from behind. Two shots were fired.
You're insane, Moto. Only one shot was heard. Isn't that right, Miss Irwin?
Yes, but Mr. Pomeroy came out of the control room. There was only one shot.
Oh, so? But you fired two shots, Mr. Pomeroy.
I?
Yes, you murdered Balsam Beamer.
But I was in the control room getting my hat.
I know, but the control room is soundproof. And you fired two shots from the control room. But when you opened the door, you came out so fast, only one shot came out with you.
Oh-ho! Mr. Moto, Mr. Moto, Silly Billy. You mean sound of one Lewallowa shot still sealed in soundproof room.
Yes, and I can prove it, Long Pan. Look, I'll open this control room door and back the shot out.
Holy smoke.
Ah, you confess, Mr. Pomeroy.
All right, Moto. Yes, I had to kill Beamer. I had no choice.
I know.
How did you trap me, Moto?
In Mr. Beamer's hand, he has one of your Pomeroy fountain pens ready to sign the contract.
You see, fountain pen broken.
Yes, and that was my cue, Long Pan. Huh, Mr. Pomeroy?
Yes, I spent $10 billion advertising my slogan, Pomeroy Pen Lasts a Lifetime.
Exactly, and Mr. Beamer's pen broke.
If word got out that Beamus had outlived the Pomeroy's head, my slogan was ruined.
So Mr. Beamus had to die.
Yes, thanks to his Pomeroy's head, it lasted Mr. Beamus a lifetime. My slogan was saved.
Get ruined. Slogan saved. Get ruined. Get ruined.
Well.
full fast one. Mr.
Well,
Moto.
Long Pan?
Mr. Moto make Long Pan look like Stumble Bump. Full fast one.
This proves Mr. Moto is the better detective, Long Pan. There is no murder that Mr. Moto cannot solve.
Oh, no, Mr. Moto?
Oh, no. Long Pan, put down that gun.
Oh, yes? Yes, one murder, Mr. Moto. Never solve.
Oh!
Now, Mr. Moto, who killed Mr. Moto? No answer, you bet. Only Long Pan know who killed Mr. Moto. One Long Pan still, world greatest oriental detective. Thank you. Before we close up the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Peter Lorre for his visit tonight. Now, next Sunday, our guest will be Jack Benny, a man on the Rochester program, I understand. Now, Jimmy, have you any last words?
Last words? Well, a couple, Fred. Your present car will have to last, so make sure that it gets the Texaco dealer's regular service.
Yes, Jimmy. Mileage rationing saves your tires. Complete the job and save your car by seeing your Texaco dealer regularly. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
Thank you. This is Columbia Broadcasting System.